If there's a person who is unsuccessful and there's another person who's successful. The successful person is that person who becomes successful in the hereafter. And the unsuccessful person is that person who has no success in the hereafter. So you can say the difference between unsuccessful and successful is for the hereafter. And the rest in the dunya, you can say a person hasn't got success or is not successful or is successful, is just a sketch, an image, but it's not the reality. The reality of success and non-success is linked to a person's hereafter. And this is very important to understand. Because we consider that the criteria for success is if in this world we achieve something, then a person is very successful and people are happy. But the real happiness is attained when a person in the hereafter attains salvation, success, forgiveness. And that would be the best day of the life. The person who attains success in the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word falah. And wherever Allah ta'ala speaks about falah, success is in reality with the link to the hereafter, not dunya. Now in the akhirah, my brothers, which people will be successful? Those will be wealthy. Those who will be wealthy. And who will be those with no success? Those who will be poor. The poor people in the hereafter. So there will be the desperation for wealth. The person who has more wealth in the hereafter, alhamdulillah, he will be successful in the hereafter. And the person who is poor, who doesn't have wealth to his name, who is a faqir, who is the beggar, he will be dragged into the hellfire and will be unsuccessful. So wealth of the hereafter, what is the wealth of the hereafter? It is not the wealth of Qarun or Haman. It is not the wealth of the banks. It's not the wealth of assets and buildings and construction. Rather, the wealth of the hereafter is in another form. And what wealth is that, my friends? What wealth is that? The real wealth of the hereafter, due to which we will attain success, and every way he will attain success, and that is Iman. Iman. The wealth of the world, whether you have mounds and masses and mountains of wealth and money, you can gather all of the money in the world, and more than that, you cannot attain success. But in comparison to that, the wealth of the hereafter, even if you have a dust particles equivalent to your name, you will attain falah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one dust particles weight of Iman. And how grateful we should be to Allah that Allah has given us this Iman. The Iman, the wealth of Iman. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Kathir, the abundance, the race of this life that we are going through. We have breath and time and age that has passed. And alhamdulillah, it has passed in this way of Iman, with this state of Iman, then it's Allah's big karam and mercy. Because up to now, Allah Ta'ala, for example, He's given us the life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. It's a great treasure and gift of Allah. That until now, Allah has given us Iman in our lives. But wealth is a very valuable thing. Remember this. And there are always the thieves who run after the wealth to pickpocket. And the pickpocket for our wealth is shaitan. And Allah has given the ijazah to shaitan that you can pickpocket and steal from the people of Iman. So he has one mission with every insan, with every human being. Shaitan has one objective and mission. That even if this person lives his whole life with Iman and practices deeds, but I'm not going to leave this person. My maqsid, my mission, says shaitan, is that when this man or woman is leaving the world, I'm going to make sure at the time of death, he has no Iman or she has no Iman. That's his mission. That's the point. Listen carefully. Very important point. At that time, he tries his best. And obvious, when a person is departing from the world, he's ill, or there's a severe condition that's befallen that person, or person's in hospital lying down, or he's passing through difficulty or pain, and for split second, maybe he's in despair or problematic situation. At that time, shaitan, he thinks, this is his weak time, the time where this person's weak physically, maybe spiritually. At that time, then shaitan attacks to grab and steal the Iman. What happens then? Allahu Akbar, Allah save us. That shaitan, he attacks and he tries his best to remove the Iman from a person's heart so that we depart from the world without belief. and he wants to be successful in this. And so many people lose iman at that time, in the final moments of life, at the time of death, and they lose their iman. They lose the iman, they lose that fight with shaitan. And this is the meaning of this hadith. This is the meaning of the hadith. Ayyatakhabadish shaitan in the maut. These are the words of a hadith where Rasulullah, Allah's Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, states that shaitan at the time of death, what does he do? What does he do? He takes the person in ayyatakhabadu shaitan. At the time of death, shaitan comes and he grabs that person, or he surrounds that person and overwhelms that person's mind. Makes him like unconscious. Listen to the words of the hadith, my brothers. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to this subject. Don't feel guaranteed, I'm sat here with iman and I'm guaranteed thereafter and I've got plenty of time to go to my qabr. No, when that time comes, today we are in the masjid, but when maut will come, at that time shaitan, he will play the game with us. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us in advance, he's told us, nothing's hidden. What does shaitan do? Ayyat qabbatish shaitan. Totally, it's like with the lightness of wind, he takes away our understanding and iman. And when he makes a person not think, what does he take our understanding away from? From what? Those people's minds are blown away who never listened to this hadith, who never read this hadith, never understood this hadith, doesn't know about this hadith, don't think about the hadith, have no concern about the hadith. If I say today that it's going to rain very heavy and our roofs are weak and we won't sleep all night long because the ceiling may cave in, the water may cave down, may fall down, and we feel bad because it's raining heavily. Or for example, if you realize something's about to occur and you got a lot of worry, or if this happens, we're going to suffer a loss. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's going to be a time that's going to come to you, death. There's no guarantee when it's going to come. You don't know when it's going to come. And those people will fail at the time of death who did not prepare for that time. And how do we then oppose shaitan at the time of death? How do we oppose the devil at the time of death? How do we oppose Satan at the time of death? Those who understand this hadith, there's another subject of another hadith, same way. That at the time of maut, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Allahu Akbar, that that time, the human being, for him, the time of death, to recite the kalima or to leave the world in the state of iman is a big test. It's not easy. Today we say we'll recite the kalima, but shaitan will be there. Yeah, and we say, Ya Allah, that time that will come when we will die, that we need the requirement, we will be desperate need to recite the kalima. Will this happen? Allah will be able to recite. So there are two things. This is the time. Who will be successful at the time of death? Which people will pass the test? Who will recite the kalima and the statement of iman? Those who, after hearing these hadith, they understood that we need to prepare for the death. And which people, what effort will help us all life long? We pray salah, read Quran, do dhikr. For that time of death, what effort have we made so we pass the test? That shaitan will come and take away our minds, our beliefs, our understanding. We'll be totally weak at that time. We'll be trembling maybe. In our life, we didn't pay attention to iman. We didn't care about iman. We didn't think that, how do I strengthen my iman for the death? And I will have not left the bad deeds that would have weakened my iman. And I will not have done the good deeds that would have strengthened my iman. So at that time, for example, I will not have left or shunned those deeds that would have weakened my iman for the time of death. So brothers, life is okay. It's not that this night is detached from the rest of our life, or this day and tomorrow I can do what I want because it's detached from my death. No, it's just like a river that's flowing. This life is flowing the same way, day and night, day and night. It cannot differentiate between our lives. Allah Ta'ala says the night have given for rest and the day for work, but the life, the flow of life and the time that's passing and taking us to the destination, nothing disturbs the flow of time. Time is passing, our age is increasing, death is coming nearer, and it's not getting further away. So we cannot say, oh, I'll wait till then. So yesterday went, the day before that went, and the time before that went. All today's time has gone, the hours today. And this is all passing, and when it reaches to a conclusion, then all of the deeds and the actions of my life are contributing to the time of death. Like the second hadith I mentioned, that how difficult it will be for a person to recite the kalima. Now I can recite the kalima. La ilaha illallah. So easy, and the young child will recite kalima if you tell them to. A 3 or 4 year old child will say, La ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah. But that time it will be difficult. Why? For this reason, because that person, that man or woman, did not protect their iman during their life, didn't protect the kalima during their life, didn't practice good deeds to preserve and strengthen man, didn't know about death. Oh, leave it, I ain't got time to think about death. Why do I need to prepare for death? I have no fikr of this. Who has fikr for death? Tell me. The worries of the world and the concerns of the world, they have taken us away from the preparation of the hereafter. So we don't know what is going to come. We are living a life. We think, yes, I prayed Salah and I don't need to pray regularly, or I don't need to do other actions. We need strong preparation for our death, for the time of death. Shaitan is very clever. He is cunning. He will come with tactics at the time of death, methods. I could tell you many events. There's not enough time. But all the events that have taken place with people at the time of death, this is history. How Shaitan has attacked them, tried to influence them, steal their iman at the time of death. Or when maut comes, death comes, oh, look, who's come to meet me? You will have heard this, isn't it? In the life, your own relatives. Who's come to you? Who's come? He's given me salam. Look, he's there. He's coming to my mouth. Where'd this person come from? I don't know who this person is. People say this, they're uttering, they say, no, Ahmad, it's not that. No, this person's there. Can't you see this person who's come? At the time of death, these are Quran and Hadith. They are honest. Truth. Shaitan comes at the time of death. So, do we not understand that when we've heard these things, seen these things, that we have experienced and we should prepare ourselves? There's wahid, one thing that will help us at that time. We should prepare for that time when we die. So at that time of death, we recite kalima, and when wretched Shaitan comes to fight with us, we destroy him. We feed him. We overcome him. We see those people that Shaitan has come to, and those people who have prepared all their life long, and Shaitan has come, okay, watch me. When Shaitan comes close to that person, the question doesn't arise that he'll come close to him, nor can his workers come, nor can he come himself. For those people, the pious people, in the hadith is stated, their mouth is such that Allahu Akbar, just like if you're pulling out a hair from amongst the flower, it pulls out so smoothly and easily, and that's the way of the death of the pious people. So we haven't prepared. There are two times. And at that time, will I recite kalima? Will I be able to affirm the statement of iman? Will I be able to confirm my iman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the hadith, the statements of Rasulullah has given us the method to prepare for death. If I tell you, will we prepare? You make a solid promise. It's very important to prepare for maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran with regards to the preparation for the after that iman, the wealth of iman. At that time it should be so strong that the question doesn't arise that the shaitan will attack us. We need the preparation for that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran Hakim, Shakartum la'azidannakum. Short verse. What does Allah ta'ala say? Shakartum. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Aha, what a great kalma, what a great verse, a small verse that Allah Ta'ala makes our dunya and our akhirah with this. Allah Ta'ala says that first Allah Ta'ala has put us underneath and inside all of His ni'mas. Can we count the ni'mas of Allah? Can anybody count all of the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? If, for example, you lie down and start thinking, saying, all your breaths will finish thinking and contemplating that person who says that, oh, I'm nothing and I've got difficulties and problems. Put that person and lie him down and say, brother, be positive for a few moments and start thinking about Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, Allah's gifts. And then that person will be ashamed, he'll melt. Bring the ink, bring the pens, bring the paper, and all of that person who's got in the state of despair, and he starts writing and recording and thinking, he will become embarrassed that Allah's given me so many ni'mas. I have to keep on writing, I've run out of ink. So many ni'mas Allah's given to us that we cannot even imagine. Great treasures, great rewards, and Allah's karam upon mercy, that what does Allah Ta'ala say? Allah hasn't said that, for example, I will take your ni'mas away, or I'll finish off all the rewards I've given to you, or the gifts I've given to you, all the ease I've given to you, and the comfort. No. Allah Ta'ala hasn't said this, that I will take it away from you, or I will reduce it. Has Allah Ta'ala said this? No. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Shakartum la'azidannakum. Allah Ta'ala says, you do my shukr, you are grateful to me, and I will azidannakum. Allah says, I will increase the ni'mas. If Allah says, if you don't do my shukr, then don't worry, I'll keep it the same level. Or if Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't do my shukr, I will reduce the gift. So for example, Allah Ta'ala says, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Even if Allah Ta'ala said, I will keep it static, the amount of treasures and rewards are going to you, or I will increase it. But Allah says, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah says, all three things come. I will increase it, you won't get any loss, and I won't keep it at the same level. I will increase the gifts and the treasure to you. In this verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has made three things clear to the human beings. Your eyes, we should be grateful for the eyes. Ni'mas upon ni'mas. Every ni'mah, Allah says, whichever ni'mah you do shukr for, it will increase, it will increase, it will increase. It will not end, it will not finish. You will not get no loss, and I won't take it back from you, Allah says. So what do we have to do? All we have to do is shakartum, shakartum, shukr Allah, grateful to Allah, grateful to Allah. We never think that Allah Ah, I'm grateful to Allah. Allah, such a beautiful finger you've given to me. My fingers are working. With my fingers I hold the pen and I write. When you speak, you think, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Allah, my tongue is working today. I'm speaking. Allah, you're so merciful. My ears are working. I'm listening. I'm hearing. Allah, I've walked here. Could I walk before? You're so merciful and so great. You allow me to walk. You're driving the car. I'm driving the car. Allah, you taught me the method that I can drive. How could I have driven this car using all of my senses? Amazing. There's not a second of the life in which a person is not able to be grateful to Allah for what Allah has given to us and what we are using. And the person who is immersed in the being grateful to Allah, the gratitude of Allah, then the treasures of their life never end. They never end. They don't even go close to the sickness. But Shaitan, who's on the other side, he makes us feel frustrated and fed up. And despite all of the ni'mas, he makes us think of one thing like a bumblebee just hovering in our heads. And we just take one item. Oh, hi, I've got problems. Hi, despair, frustration, guilt, and anger. Oh, and for example, oh, this didn't happen. Oh, that didn't happen. If only that could have occurred. Why didn't Allah Ta'ala let this happen? You know, it's only me who gets the problems. This is being ungrateful. Will this be a person who's grateful to his Lord? Tell me what will be the conclusion of that person who's ungrateful to Allah. I will tell you hadith. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What happened? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah ta'ala explained to us one thing. What should we do? Shakartum. On every ni'mah. So let us start counting the ni'mahs, the rewards of Allah, the gifts Allah has given, all of the assets Allah has given us. That tell me, is there any ni'mah greater than iman? Greater than belief? And we'll realize in the akhirah, is there any ni'mah greater than iman? That even if you have the iman, the atom's weight, mustard seed's weight, nothing can compare in the world or the hereafter to this. There's no greater ni'mah than this. Allah Ta'ala has told us clearly that the person who has iman, even the mustard seed's weight, then he has got the greatest gift in the universe. And Allah says, if you are grateful to me, and I will increase your gift I've given to you. So Allah says, if you do shukr of your iman, then I will increase your iman. So those people who are grateful for their belief, Allah says in the Quran, if you glorify me, praise me, do my dhikr to Allah, I'm grateful to you. You give me iman, you give me belief, and they're awake and conscious, and consciously they're doing wird, they're reciting and grateful for the iman, then the iman is increased and strengthened and improved until death. The iman is so strong that shaitan cannot even come near to them. Near to them. How will he steal the iman? So what a great solution method. This is the way to get husna khatama, the best death. The Quran has given us the solution. You have time now. And you may die in difficulty without iman. But it's so easy to strengthen iman that if you are existent in the life with iman strong, you will see the reward in the hereafter and this dunya at the same time parallel. Such an easy method. Look at this. So can we all do this or not? Tell me. Child can do it, woman can do it, old man can do it, old person can do it, sick person can do this. And by thinking this, that I've got nothing, I've got no deeds to my name, I'm not strong, I'm not a very good person, but I've got iman, I've got belief, and that's all I need. Allah, I'm grateful to you, Allah, that you have given me this or X, Y, Z, other things in dunya. I don't care, I'm not worried. But iman that's broken down and humble. Shaitan says, is this your iman? Who's going to ask you about your iman? Look what you were doing there. You did sin, you didn't pray salah, you didn't do these good deeds. You say, Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to Allah. Allah has given me iman. Even if I've got iman, an atom's weight, then this is better than the whole world and what it contains. A person who feels hopeless, despair, frustrated, they will never feel like this again. If they're grateful to Allah, that Allah, Shaitan tries to reduce our iman. Shaitan tries to reduce our feeling of goodness. And I will say in response to Shaitan, am I poor? Am I in a bad situation? Allah's given me iman. If for a few days I don't get material things or money in the world or wealth, no problem. Many days have passed like this and many days will pass. But Alhamdulillah, I've got iman. At least I should increase my iman and strengthen it so I can wake up as a rich person and thereafter then I'm the shukr and I'm grateful to Allah and I increase my iman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, but Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized his ummah, knew the qualities of his ummah. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, I know my ummah, subhanallah. I know my ummah, and they're very, you can say, lazy and ignorant. They won't even do this action. These are the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah SAW said, you are lazy and so negligent in such an easy tariqah, method of the Quran, that we can prepare for our death and hereafter to strengthen our iman by remembering Allah. But Rasulullah SAW said, we're so lazy and negligent, we won't do this. Ra'ufur Rahim. How a mushfiq he is, how he loved the ummah, and he loves his ummah, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he didn't stop at that point, the Quran is explained to the Muslims, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me make it easier for my ummah. Shall I tell you that method? Even the child can do this. The old woman can do this. And such a tariqah method that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, such a method, imagine the beauty of this action. That person who has belief, doesn't have belief, everybody will have to do this. Say Subhanallah. That automatically will have to implement this. So much kind of mercy. That's why Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Very few people will depart without iman. So easy has Rasulullah made it, that if we do amal on this action that I'm presenting in your service today, listen carefully, tie the knot on top of this action. Yeah. We say this, isn't it, traditionally, that put this point and allow it to come into your heart. Drop into your heart. And who is this for? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever loves, only that person who loves the sunnah will do this action. The person who has a love for the sunnah, who has an affection for the sunnah, he will do this action. Woman, man, child, the person who doesn't have love, then even he or she won't be able to practice this deed. So a person who has affection for the sunnah will be able to practice this easy solution. Look, how much do we eat? How many times do we eat? 5 times a day, 6 times a day, we keep on eating from morning till evening. We keep eating, isn't it? Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fadl has given us stomach, we're hungry, we eat. Namaz are coming, what's there to be scared about? Is there something to be ashamed of? Allah Ta'ala gives hunger, isn't it? Allah gives hunger and Allah gives the food. Eat as much as you want. Take away this, that. Alhamdulillah, fadl of Allah, eat as much as you want. But food, make the food beneficial for you. Make it of benefit for you. How? How do we do this? Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala gives you the ni'mah. You got a stomach and you feel hungry and suddenly food comes, take away, shop is in front of you, or food comes in front of you, someone gives you food and suddenly you're feeling hungry and it's tasting, you eat. Then do one thing after you eat, and what is that? What is that? Do the shukr of Allah. Be grateful to Allah for the food that you've just eaten. At least praise Allah. There's so much food. Eat 5 times, no problem. People eat 6 times a day. MashaAllah, after every hour and a half, somebody might feel hungry. And we have tea. Tea is also food, drink. The biscuits come with the tea. Sometimes the cake comes in front of a person. Isn't it? And we eat the cake and drink the tea and the biscuits. Sometimes we make pakore, bhajiya, samosas and papad. MashaAllah, all of the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This continues, isn't it? Ya Allah, it does. It does. So Allah says, look here. You eat. MashaAllah, shakur. Do shukr of Allah. Be grateful to Allah. We will be grateful to you. Allah says, no, the way I've prescribed to you, do it that way. Subhanallah. So what did Allah Ta'ala say? What did Rasulullah SAW prescribe? The Rasulullah SAW said, do what I've told you to do. As I've prescribed to you, look at the benefit you will get. Look at the benefit you will get. Okay, we'll do this. So Rasulullah SAW, this is my sunnah. No, we're not going to follow the sunnah. No, we don't need to practice the sunnah. No, we don't need to do that. Today, this is the situation of the ummah. When the name of the sunnah comes, no, that's not necessary. It's a bit difficult. No, it's not jai, it's not important. Why? Who said we have to follow sunnah, we have to do this? No. Look at shaitan's attack. Their life hinges on sunnah. Akhirah hinges on sunnah. Success hinges on sunnah. Allah's love. And Jannah is hidden, veiled behind the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every footstep of sunnah, Jannah, paradise, Allah's pleasure, paradise, Allah's pleasure, due to practicing the sunnah. And Shaitan says, no, we don't need to practice sunnah, it's not important, it's not necessary, leave it, just, I've done the fard action, that's enough for me, don't tell me do sunnah. Is this not the mindset of the Shaitan, of the ummah today? 99.99% recurring. This is the mindset of the ummah. So who will admit and accept that sunnah is an action or it's necessary? We say, it's okay, it's not fard, is it? It's not compulsory. And here, what does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Subhanallah. His prescription. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you practice according to my tariqah, after eating, if according to my sunnah, and my lifestyle and my manners, if I eat, you eat like I ate. How did Rasulullah SAW eat? He would put down the dastarkhwan, he would wash the hands, he would lay the dastarkhwan on the floor. On that the food would be placed. Then everyone would come together, start eating together, eat together, do this. Does anyone do this? Tell me, somebody's standing and eating, somebody's got the food in his armpit, the coke here, in his hand drinking, and in his ear there's something else, and they're eating. Is this the lifestyle of the human being, of a Muslim? We're listening to something else, eating, standing up, walking, whatever. This is the loss of the hereafter. Shaitan is becoming stronger. Iman, when the time of Iman comes, he will make us without Iman. Think about that time, preparation for that time. Al-Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah, by rejecting it, what a massive, massive loss we are attaining. Where will this conclude? We cannot imagine. And this is where we get the connection from. Rasulullah's connection. Eat, lay the food mat, dastarqan, wash your hands before eating, then be grateful to Allah. Rasulullah said, and how should we be grateful? The way Allah's Nabi Sallallahu was grateful. He said, remember my du'as, my kalimats. What did I do? Alhamdulillahi alladhi atamni wa saqani. Is it the du'a, isn't it? What do we say to Allah? Allah, I'm grateful to you, Allah, that you gave me hunger and you gave me to eat. There are many people, there are billions, maybe millions, who have hunger, but there's no food. Can this be? It can. That a person's hungry and there's no food to eat or drink. Allah Ta'ala gives us experience sometimes that you're hungry in the fast, during the fast. Can you eat? You can't eat. Many millions and millions of people, there's just 30 days we fast, and we just do this for 30 days. May many millions of people, and beyond that, who all their lives, they live the life of hunger and poverty. And we take food and throw it in the bin. We waste food. Sometimes we eat, we don't think that somebody in the dunya is poor, who doesn't have food to eat. There'll be a child, poor child, who's sucking on a dry bone, and we throw the food like this in front of our children and on the floor into the bin. And we haven't come from some massive sort of wealthy country. We've come from the villages and the wilderness and the countryside, rural areas. We've seen this with our eyes, and we passed that life where our people, they suffered. Do we have any feeling in our heart for them? Do we think that if somebody comes to give, to obtain, we give? But we never thought ourselves to go into the rural areas, country. When we go to India or Pakistan, or if you go to India, and my voice is going, I wasn't very well today, I tried with effort today, and if it goes the voice totally, then I won't be able to speak. So we should go, when we go, for example, to India or Pakistan, 1 week or 4 days, we should keep aside that we go to a place, we've got money in our pockets, and we go and feed people and distribute the money and the food. This is a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, so meet your family, fine, you're going with gifts, but at least take gifts for the poor people who don't have food in their lives. This is a dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi, Allah, you gave me hunger, at'amni, and you gave me rizq. You gave me wealth and food, and you gave me that food and wealth that I like, I prefer. You gave me mashroob, this drink. I felt like drinking Coke today, Allah, you gave me Coke. I felt like today I want to eat dal and rice, you gave me dal and rice, lentils. Today I want to eat roast, you gave me roast chicken, Allah, roast meat. Alhamdulillah, alladhi, at'amni. Do you understand this dua, this prayer? Subhanallah. That how much shukr, we should be so grateful to Allah that millions of people at this time, they are hungry but they don't have food. And so many other people who have rizq and they have wealth but they don't have hunger. They eat and they vomit. But how much shukr to you, Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amni. That my Mawla, my Lord, you have been so merciful to me, so much karam and grace of you, that this is how we should eat, with humbleness. Since we're not like animals. Oh, what you've cooked today? Oh no, what's that? This time to eat, is going here, and you're listening to something else, watching something else. You don't know what's happening at the time of eating. The effect of this will take place. Remember this. Where will it take place? When shaitan will come at the time of death. So this is what Allah's Nabi Sallam is preparing us for. Look at this. Now, I want your attention on this point. Where is shaitan taking us? To which point? This is not just for eating. Where is this subject? Where is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taking this whole subject matter, this theme? Atamni wa saqani. Water is such a great resource. You know, we say install pumps and taps and give somebody water. Even for this, Allah Ta'ala has taught us in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala says, eat. Why if Allah said, don't eat but drink? Then we wouldn't have had value for water. But 30 days Allah has made us realize, when we break the fast and when we don't eat, we eat in the morning, and for example, we think we can eat in the evening, this is fast. No, fast is to understand in your heart that look towards the ummah, mankind, and make your hereafter through this action. Because these people will come to you tomorrow. How long does it take? How long does it take that when you have to go on a flight, at least for example, you take a flight, in 6 hours you reach to the corners of the world, in 5 hours you reach to the corners of the world, other places. This is a very small world. It's confined, and where you're enjoying yourself here, drinking water, Coke, eating different foods. Do those people who live in the other corner of the world don't feel like eating and drinking? So when you leave, 3-4 hours spend in the rural countryside, 5 hours, 6 hours in the plane, and then go and meet this makhluk, the creation of Allah, human beings who don't have nothing to eat or drink. Stand, go, wander, meet them. Alhamdulillah, alladhi atamni wa saqani. What a great statement. That hunger is such a great thing. You'll be amazed, and you know this point yourself, that for example, people, you go to a place where there are dirty animals and there are creatures, and they're drinking water from the dirty sources, and people, they're sick, and the children are sick and somebody has got the stomach problem or a digestion problem, etc. And there are people in the world, and today our hearts have become like stones and rocks. That when a person had the shukr and is grateful to Allah, then his heart wakes up. Allah, you're feeding me, give me drink. And so many people in the world are poor. So promise to yourself that you try your best, that you will go and seek and find out the poor people. People come. They come of ourselves. We should go and find with our hands. We should give. I swear by Allah, when you give to a miskin, poor person, you feed him food and give him drink and you give to him. I tell you that thousands of jannahs you will be enjoying in this world. You'll get the enjoyment of thousands of paradise over in this world. But how lazy we are. Oh no, 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 how will I work? How can I go and see this person? What will happen to the person? No, we should have worry. There'll be hisab. A severe time will come. We have so much time. I swear by Allah, we have so much time. After retirement, what does a person do? Become hopeless? Useless? Do his hands and feet not work? What will we do after retirement? What do you do? Stand up, brothers, and go and see and meet and wander around and look at the people who don't have anything. The Allah Ta'ala says, just look at the profit in your pockets, in your hands. Go and look at the losses of the world and make benefit in your hereafter. You should buy such a ticket that you travel. I'm not going to meet anyone, and I'm just going to go and visit and meet the poor people. Thousands of Hajj, thousands of Umrah on one side the road. And if you buy a ticket, every year we purchase a ticket, fly. We're going Hajj, Umrah. I'm going to Hajj first. Go to the poor people. How many Hajj and Umrah thawab Allah Ta'ala will give for this? Am I right or am I wrong? Think about this. This is the Sufi. This is the majlis of the Sufi. That's why I speak like this. That for the pain of the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings. Otherwise, did Allah ta'ala have nothing lacking in the universe? That's remembering Allah. Allah says, did I create you for ibadah? There are many angels, many other forms and creatures. Allah says, I want to see you, the ups and downs. I could make all of you rich. All of you could be millionaires. All of you could have had brand new cars from the factory, 0 meter. But Allah says, I wanted to see the who in whose heart is there the love for Allah and the love for creation. Is there anyone from amongst us who loves the creation? Human beings, somebody Allah made poor, somebody rich, somebody yatim, somebody orphan, somebody's mother passed away, somebody's father passed away, somebody this happened, somebody that happened, tragedies. And for us until today, we don't even get the opportunity that we can go to a yatim and put our hands on his head. And 10 times we've gone to India. So many times. Then don't give money, but at least put your hand with affection on the head of the yatim orphan. If today this person had a father, this person would study, go to school, go to madrasa, and there'll be somebody to teach this person hips of Quran and embrace that person, give love and affection. But no, oh, the smell coming from the orphan. Oh, I've got clean clothes. How can I embrace this child? We don't remember the event of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that once on the day of Eid, there was a child crying, everyone was playing, he was standing in the corner. Rasulullah went to him, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, I can't tell you. He said, no, my son, tell me, why are you crying? He said, today is the day of Eid. All the children are playing. They've got nice clothes. And my parents, I don't have. I'm yatim. I'm orphan. What do I do? Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there and said, you don't have a father? He said, no. He said, come with me. Come with me. If I give you a father better than your father. He was amazed. Who will be a father better than that? He said, come. I will become your father. You are my son. Subhanallah. Took him home, was going, and Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said that this is our son who's come, who whatever clothes Hassan have worn, put him the same clothes, give him the same clothes, and wash him, let bathe him, and decorate him, and give him surmah, and he was prepared, subhanAllah. And on one side were the grandsons, and the other side were the child, and he's walking like with his father, subhanAllah. What a great message for the ummah, for the nation. And we just walk past the orphans, we say they smell, we don't want to go near them, astaghfirullah. We are proud upon our ibadah, our worship, our hajj and umrah. Anyway, we've gone off track. I come back to the point. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani wa saqani. This is a tafsir commentary of this hadith. This is the faqir who's doing the tafsir of this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is this dua that when a person sits and after eating, when he does the dua, alhamdulillah alladhi? What is this? So here, now we've come to this point for eating, drinking, wearing clothing. Now let's come. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you such a point here, such a method that you'll get food, you'll get drink, increase in your food, increase in your drinking, increase in your health. وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah, we are eating and drinking. Then here, what link has this got to do with Iman and Islam? For this reason, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. So we don't forget, after eating, when you do this dua, the more you do this dua, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, then we are doing shukr for our Iman. وَجَعَلَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that we are being grateful for Iman, and our Iman is increasing and strengthening and improving. Do you understand how great is this dua? So such and a cure for the ummah, that even if we don't ask dua regularly or do things, but if we do amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah, after eating we recite the dua, then that person, he will get so many things, food, drink, and on top of that, the asal genuine thing, the ability to ward off shaitan, so he cannot consume and take our iman and the kalima at the time of death. So we should recite, وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Allah, we're grateful to you that you've given us iman, belief in our hearts. Otherwise, this is no link, is there? Food and drink with iman. But Allah's Nabi says, has joined the two. And when you're eating and drinking after that, you will get the food, you get more to drink, more energy and resources, and on side of that, you will be preparing for your akhirah, for your hereafter. So all of us should remember this. Everyone remembers this, but nobody recites this. Nobody recites this. So what a beautiful method and solution. Another one I'll explain as we're passing. This is for us, eating and drinking. Then social, we have a social life, meeting, going out, somebody's feeding somebody, somebody's inviting, hosting, someone's making food and sending, you're making food and giving to others. This carries on, doesn't it? Dawah, inviting, hosting, what do we eat and drink? We go. Allah's Nabi said, no, let me tell you the preparation for this. There's a beautiful secret here. And then Allah's Nabi took us towards iman, that whenever somebody invites you and gives you food, feeds you, or you feed others and host them and make food for them, probably not just you eat food and you do the dua and let's go, we've eaten. No. That what beautiful sincerity that person, the host, he made food for us, prepared food for us. With the depth of his heart, he would have put the piece of his heart into the food. He loves you, he would prepare for you. Obviously somebody's inviting you, so he'll try, won't he? So Allah Ta'ala said that what is your haq? What's the right upon that person that when somebody invites you, what's your haq that you should take that person to Jannah, to paradise? SubhanAllah, what a great reward. Take that person to Jannah. What should you do? You should do dua for that person. Do that after eating, don't just stand and leave after eating. That person struggled and strived. Oh, there was not much salt in there. And when you're invited to a feast, you say, who cooked this food when you go there? Oh, the food wasn't soft. The meat wasn't soft and tender. And what does Rasulullah tell us? That eat. And after that, say, Allah, just like my host who invited me, gave me food to drink and food to eat and something to drink. Just the way he has hosted, has given us to feed. Allah, forever keep on giving him food. Forever keep on giving him food. Allah, he's fed us today. But with this, Allah, always give him in a nice way and better than this food and drink. And then on top of this, Allah, don't just give him food and drink all the time. Rather, Jannah, paradise, all of the food and the drink, give him more than that and over than that and give him the Jannah, paradise. And has Akhirah not come into this now? SubhanAllah, you've done dua for that person who is your host, who invited you to eat. Allah, give him food and drink like this, always to eat and drink. And Allah, in Jannah and paradise also, give him the food and the drink and the sharab of Jannah. And what is this? So this is linked to, because what is paradise linked to? Jannah, only that person will go into Jannah who's got iman, isn't it? Or not? So is this not being grateful of iman? And has Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not taken us to Jannah after eating? So this is a routine life, everyday life. So when you do dua for that person who has hosted you, invited you, these are duas that are accepted upon accepted. There's no doubt in this. These are du'as of sunnah. This is action and amal. And only that person can do this who is the ashik, the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not drama, no games. Only that person who passes his life according to the sunnah, yaqeen, and most definitely who have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They every second they understand that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this action. He taught us this. This was how to eat, drink, what to say after eating, what to go when you're a guest. And the whole of the hereafter is hidden in every action. If you take every sunnah has a concealed, wrapped up nicely, has the sunnah, has the hereafter and the rules of the hereafter wrapped up inside it. And the asal ashik, the lover of the sunnah, Rasulullah, they don't follow drama and deception in their life. Though every part of their life used to be an example and reflection of the sunnah. Every toss and turn, even while sleeping, they would follow the sunnah. The how did Rasulullah turn? And how? What kalima did he recite? On every toss and turn in the night, when he turned to the right, to the left, what did he recite? When he sat up after sleeping, what did Rasulullah recite? When he left the mattress, what did he recite? When he left his bedding, what did he recite? Every action from morning till evening, no action is there devoid of the sunnah. We should be aware of this. And opposite to that is shaitan, will come at our times of death. But if we prepare, we will ward him off. My brothers, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, told us, my ummah is ghafil, negligent. But my friends, we shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't be negligent. We shouldn't be those who don't understand. We should be grateful that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we accept your messages. Your sunnah is a benefit for our lives and our hereafter. From today, make a promise. We will eat food like this on the food mat. That's the Quran. Call the children, wash their hands, then say it loudly so the children, they can also say, I've seen such mothers. Such as the 3-4 months old, and then when they're feeding their children, they recite the dua and feed the children. The children understand. I've told you this before. The 3-year-old daughter child, she likes the food and she's opened the mouth. When she recited this dua, the mother, she started to cry. She understood, oh, the brakes have stopped. Mother said the dua. That means there's no more food after. 3-4 months old child. She's crying. She wants some more. I want more. Imagine this. This is fitrat and natural that the child recognizes the mother saying the dua, that this concludes the food time. And he wants more food, or she wants more food. So this is the hikmah. They are the two methods. Number one, that from the Qur'an, that if we want to strengthen our iman for the akhirah hereafter, and we want to prepare for iman at the time of death, of what's the important thing? To be grateful to Allah for iman. There are many events of how to be grateful for iman, but Rasulullah SAW has given us an easy method, that we all eat, don't we, and drink. And after eating, at the time we should be grateful to Allah, that when we eat, we start with the name of Allah, and when we conclude with the name of Allah, then when we say, وَجَعَلَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَجَعَلَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ with this sadaqah, Allah Ta'ala will allow us to depart the world with iman. Ameen. So now we've understood what is dhikr, the meaning of dhikr. Because dhikr of Allah is being grateful for all of Allah's ni'mas. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Dhikr is very important. We should make niyyah that Allah, all the ni'mas you give me today. And now it's evening time, and it's the last point of the night, last time of the night. My Mawla, from morning to night, all of the ni'mas you've given to me collectively, and all in all, I am being grateful to you for what you give to me with your kalamats and with your dhikr. And you yourself have stated, what Allah Ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Subhanallah, recite Durood Sharif.